Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Clearing the Crease podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Cox. Thank you so much for downloading the latest edition of the Clearing the Crease podcast. I hope you go back and download all of our previous episodes of Clearing the Crease. We've got a lot of things to get into today. University of Iowa and civil rights complaints, following up on a story with the field hockey program and its former coach, Tracy Griesbaum. Also, we're going to talk about sports specialization versus multi-sport athletes. But before we get started this week, I'm just going to give you guys a heads up. Next week, we're going to have a preview of the Major League Lacrosse Championship game. That game comes up August 8th. That's going to be down in Atlanta at Kennesaw State University. All right, the semifinals are taking place today, August 1st. That's when we are recording this podcast. We have the Rochester Rattlers taking on the Ohio Machine and the Boston Cannons taking on the New York Lizards. Now, last year's champion, the Denver Outlaws, didn't make the playoffs this year. They fell just one game shy of making it into that number 4 seed. So we are going to have a new champion this year, no repeat champion. So we're going to have a preview of the Major League Lacrosse Championship game next week, so please make sure to turn into Clearing the Crease to get a full preview of the championship game for Major League Lacrosse. We're going to have a new Steinfeld Cup champion this year. Just to let you know, my predictions to who's going to be in the championship game, I'm calling it Ohio Machine and New York Lizards. That's going to be my prediction. But we'll have to wait and see who's going to win, and we're going to have a full preview of those games next week. Now, for our first story this week for Clearing the Crease, we spoke about this a couple of months ago about how the University of Iowa, former field hockey coach Tracy Griesbaum, was fired just before the 2014 season. She has now filed a civil rights complaint with the state against the University of Iowa. Again, Griesbaum has alleged a pattern of gender bias at the University of Iowa under athletic director Gary Barta. Now, the complaint was filed with the Iowa Civil Rights Commission, according to her attorney, Tom Newkirk. Now, Newkirk is a civil rights attorney based out in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, this is the first step into filing a lawsuit against the university. Now, Newkirk has stated that Griesbaum is prepared to actually file a lawsuit. Now, in the state of Iowa, once a complaint is filed with the state and has been filed for 60 days, the person who filed that complaint now has a right to issue a right to sue letter, which Newkirk has stated that they fully intend on doing. Now, in an email sent from Newkirk, again, the attorney of Griesbaum, to the Iowa City Press Citizen, was quoted as saying through an email, quote, "We are at this point because we have exhausted efforts to get the university to investigate and remedy this without a lawsuit." Again, that's what Newkirk says. Now, the University of Iowa has said that they have received the notification of the from the Civil Rights Commission about the complaint and respects the commission's jurisdiction and will fully cooperate in the investigation. Now, the University of Iowa has maintained that the athletic director Gary Barta has decision to fire Griesbaum without cause. Again, a key term in here, without cause, just weeks before the 2014 season was not related to gender. Okay, it was not related to gender. Now, the termination, according to the University of Iowa, came after an internal investigation that was prompted by multiple complaints from some of her, I guess, now former players, stating, you know, mistreatment or harassment over several years within the program. Now, we spoke about this last time I addressed this issue, was that the reports came back from the investigation saying that Griesbaum did not violate any university policies, didn't violate any NCAA policies, did not violate any Big Ten policies. So no policies broken. There was a comment. Barta has said that, you know what, we should work together to make sure we have a very enriched environment, you know, for the student athletes with your program, make sure they have a very comfortable environment. And Griesbaum say, okay, we can certainly work on that to make sure we have a good environment. And then she turns around and gets fired without cause. And now there have been a pattern of multiple female coaches that have been fired at the University of Iowa, despite there being complaints against coaches of the male gender in men's sports, such as several players on the football team having to go to the hospital from conditioning workouts because of possible disease that goes from heat exhaustion that could lead to actually kidney failure. But Kirk Ferentz, his job, he got an extension after that, all those complaints, and a lot of those players were hurt. There's some justification here by Griesbaum to file this complaint and, down the road lead to this lawsuit. The University of Iowa had raised concerns about, an environment of fear or maybe some intimidation or mistreatment. But that was, again, based just off a few players who, I guess you say, had a bad experience. Now, part of the termination by the University of Iowa, they had to buy out the remaining remainder of Griesbaum's contract, which was the equivalent of about $200,000. So that was part of her buyout. So she had to, pay her out the rest of her contract. Again, $200,000. But that doesn't nowhere near make up the, you can say the, defamation. I don't know if that's a proper word, but how negatively it impacts her. The ability of possibly her getting another job, just the negative effects against her name. So certainly defamation, I guess, could be a proper term that could be used. Now, this isn't the first civil rights complaint to be filed over Griesbaum's termination. Remember last time we spoke, four players had filed a Title IX complaint with the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights back in February, alleging the university had violated Title IX in its treatment of female coaches and student athletes. Two of the players who filed the complaint, Natalie Cafone and Chandler Akers, are still on the roster again this season, while Danny Hemian played out her senior season this past fall, and Jesse Silfer, meanwhile, transferred to Wake Forest down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Now, Griesbaum, she spent 14 seasons at the University of Iowa. It's not like she was fresh there. She spent 14 seasons at the University of Iowa. She had won multiple Big Ten championships, as well Big Ten tournament, as well as Big Ten regular season championships, made six appearances in the NCAA tournament, made a Final Four. So it's not like she was a bad coach. Her team was successful. She had a career-winning record. She had a winning record the season prior to her getting fired. So that would have been the 2013 season. So there's a lot of allegations, again, made against the University of Iowa and how they have handled this situation with Tracy Griesbaum. I certainly think that she definitely has the right to make this decision to go after the University of Iowa. I fully support it because, imagine, that was you in that situation and you were unjustly fired from a job where you had been successful and, there were a couple of complaints that were made, but no violations were made, yet they still fired you without cause. Especially if you had success and had been at that position for a long period of time. I'm going to fully support Tracy Griesbaum in this, and I really hope that whatever is justifiable and right comes out of this situation comes out. Because I think, in all fairness, as someone who has coached female athletics, we're all pushing for equality these days. I think that male coaches and female coaches should be treated the exact same. Male athletes and female athletes should be treated the exact same. No special treatments because you're a certain gender or a certain race or you play a certain sport. If we want equality, treat everyone equal. That's the way I look at things. Now, for our Out of Bounds segment this week, I remember last time we had a podcast here on Clearing the Crease, we talked about the passing of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, former professional wrestler and just really pop culture icon. Well, sadly, a couple days ago, we lost another one in Rowdy Roddy Piper. The age of 61, died of a heart attack. The Hot Rod, was a staple, not only with the WWE, also spent some time with WCW, but also had a pretty successful movie career. You know, performed in a few movies and really was out there, again, in pop culture as an icon. When Vince McMahon decided to make WrestleMania happen, he had to have a strong opponent, a strong antagonist to go against Hulk Hogan, who is the face of the company. And who the one who everyone cheered for, and he chose Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper headlined the first WrestleMania against Hulk Hogan, and that's high praise for a guy, for someone to do that. And so it's very sad to see someone of any who has just had an impact on people in terms of entertainment and who has been able to elicit emotion and response from people pass away. And so yeah, Hot Rod. Rowdy Roddy Piper passing away at the age of 61. Now for my main topic this week, we're going to talk about multi-sport athletes versus sport specialization. And this has been a hot topic that goes on and has been going on for a long time. And what we mean by multi-sport athletes versus sport specialization is that we're seeing a lot of young kids these days just picking one sport and playing exclusively that one sport, and how that really adversely affects them. And what we're seeing is a lot of overuse injuries because of players constantly playing the same sport. They're doing the same motion. They're not fully developing as athletes or fully developing their kinetic chain. And that is having a negative impact. We're seeing young kids who are 11, 12, 13 years old that are playing baseball year-round, and they're playing 140, 150 games over the course of the year. And there's some Major League Baseball players who don't play 140 games over the course of the year because they get days off, or they get hurt, and they have to take some time off, or just their standard days off. There's no reason why a kid that young age should be playing just that one sport, or a kid who's in 8th, 9th grade that's just playing exclusively lacrosse, or plays exclusively soccer, or only plays football. It doesn't develop a full athlete. It doesn't develop in my terms of athlete, not just the physical aspects, but the vision, the awareness, the spatial awareness, and just having to read and react as an athlete, how that impacts you. Now, Wayne Gretzky has been quoted as saying, when I was a kid growing up, hockey was wintertime. So when the hockey season ended, it was time to hang up the skates. And he was anxious to put his skates away because he was done with hockey to go pick up his lacrosse stick. Yes, Wayne Gretzky played lacrosse, and I'm just going to let you know that that's awesome. The best hockey player of all time was a lacrosse player, just to let you know. Anyway, my point is that he was so tired of playing hockey that he was ready to go do something else. And then when lacrosse was done, he was ready to do something else. So when wintertime came back around, he was ready to put his skates back on, pick up his stick, and go hit the ice. That's what he was ready to do. And he was anxious to do that. And I think kids lose that now is because they're constantly doing things, or this one thing over the course of the year. They don't understand what it's like to really appreciate doing that. Now, let's look at this from a physical standpoint. Now, take an athlete who has played multiple sports, and I'm going to use sports that I have played over the years. So, growing up, I played soccer, basketball, hockey, football, baseball. I swam, I wrestled, and obviously I've played lacrosse, and I even did a little bit of track and field. Now, someone who's able to play multiple sports, let's just take an athlete who has played soccer, basketball, and lacrosse. So those three sports. And you're going to get a well-rounded athlete because these all sports all translate to one another on the field. You can translate and take some aspects from one sport to the other. For example, a soccer player, their footwork, their hand-eye, their coordination, their spatial awareness, communication, the conditioning of running up and down a full field, the concepts of set pieces are fantastic to have when you translate that to, let's say, the basketball court. The footwork, how that's going to translate. communication. Set pieces are much like inbound plays or set plays on an offensive end. Or take that to the lacrosse field. The communication on defense, how to go through picks, even the concepts of zone defense, that all translates to the lacrosse field. How you are able to position your hips, play one-on-one, play off the ball, the footwork, just the coordination of catching and throwing, being able to, then basketball, just the X's and O's of running plays, working off picks, communicating through them, all those things translate one to another. How to read and react, again, spatial awareness, and also getting up and down the field, much like soccer. Those three sports all complement each other in various ways, and I think that's what we lose a lot when we just play one sport. Dr. James Andrews, in an article with the Cleveland, if I remember correctly, it was the Cleveland Plain Dealer back about a year ago, I want to say in August 2014, in an article has said that he's just getting way too many kids, especially baseball players, who he's just doing rotator cuff, shoulder repairs, Tommy John surgeries of kids who are, you could barely drive, and probably haven't even shaved yet. And the problem with that is it's because it's overuse. Kids are playing too many games. They're pitching more innings than the pros are, and they're doing more training than the pros are, and it's insane. The body at that age is not built to do that, to do one sport exclusively. I've been asked, being a former college coach, by a lot of parents of lacrosse players, both male and female, asking me when their kid should start focusing on one sport and one sport exclusively. And I'd say, I always answer this the same way. I said, at the earliest, college. And they look at me with this dumbfounded look, like, what do you mean at the earliest college? I said, there's nothing wrong with playing multiple sports in college. I had a few athletes that did that, and I encouraged it. I had players who played both field hockey and lacrosse, some who played both soccer and lacrosse. I had one who played basketball and lacrosse. And to me, I accepted that fully. I was 100% behind that, because I knew my athletes, when they were doing that, were going to be well-rounded. And I constantly got asked by girls that I was recruiting, is it okay if I play soccer this year? Do you not want me to, because I won't? Or, you know, I won't play basketball this year if you tell me not to, and just play lacrosse. And I said, if you don't play lacrosse, or if you don't play your soccer season, or if you don't play your basketball season, then I don't want you, because I want you to be a well-rounded athlete. I want you to enjoy those sports while you still have a chance to play them. And then when you come to play for me in college, then you can focus on one sport solely, because it changes a little bit at that level. And I think that's something that's missed. The last time I played multiple sports was actually my freshman year of college. I played both football and I played lacrosse before deciding, you know what, I needed to focus on one sport, and I decided to focus on lacrosse at that point. And it's something that's lost. You know, back then, you know, when I was in high school or even growing up, a great athlete was someone who played, you know, may have been a running back or a defensive back on the football team, or a linebacker on the football team. Then he played on the basketball team. Then he was the second baseman on the baseball team. Well-rounded athlete. Those things always translated one to another. And you don't see that anymore. And I'm also finding now a lot of girls that I recruited when I was coaching, when they decided to play just lacrosse, and they were playing lacrosse with their spring, in the spring with their high school team. They're playing summer club. They're playing club tournaments in the fall. They're doing winter indoor leagues, and their stick was always in their hand. And then they're serious about playing, and they were great players. But by the time it rolled around, by the end of their senior year, they had just played so much lacrosse, and they were just so tired of it that they would put their stick down. They would go to just, you know, a random school, just some, you know, big state school that everyone else goes to, like an NC State or a James Madison University, and then they would never pick up their stick ever again. Like, well, I may go play club, but they were so burned out from the sport, they didn't want to play it anymore. Now, in sports psychology terms, burnout is the term in which it's used when someone disassociates themselves or distance themselves from a sport or an act or a game and has no desire or passion to actually go back to it. That's burnout. Staleness is when you need to put down something or step away from something for a period of time, but you do have the intention of coming back. And that period of time is never really defined. It could be, you know, a few weeks, it could be a few months, it could be even a year or two or even longer. That's what staleness is. Now, what I'm seeing a lot is not staleness, it's burnout. And I think playing multiple sports prevents staleness. And that is something that a lot of parents, a lot of coaches need to emphasize with players, with athletes, is to play multiple sports. Even if the kid doesn't or wants to focus solely on one sport, make the kid play another sport. I didn't want to swim when I was a kid growing up, but my mom made me do it because she wanted me to step away from baseball for a little bit. And that was something I really did appreciate. And I did it for like a year or two, but it was something, again, I appreciated having. Because it made me step away from the baseball field. So when I was able to put my glove back on and, you know, pick my bat back up, you know, as a kid growing up to go play baseball, I was excited again about it. And I was passionate about it again. And then when it was time to step away, I put my glove down, put my bat away, and I, you know, went on to the next sport, whether it was summer basketball or swimming or, you know, get ready for football season. And then when I started playing lacrosse and football during high school, it was football is the fall, lacrosse was the spring, summer was to get ready for football, winter was to get ready for lacrosse. And then that's how it was. And it helped me with my spatial awareness, my footwork. Just everything, one thing translated to the next. How to read plays, how to react. It all helps translate. And that's something that we lack today with athletes or with young athletes. Too much specialization, too many overuse injuries, and kids just getting burned out from playing one sport. I hate seeing, especially, I'm going to keep going back to lacrosse. I hate seeing lacrosse players and their families who have poured in tons of money in equipment, travel for tournaments, the tournament fees, camps, all the cost for their uniforms, the food, all those things being factored in, and then the kid is so tired of doing it that they don't play anywhere. They decide, you know what? I don't want to play lacrosse anymore. And all that time and effort that they put into being recruited and trying to get that scholarship, and kids who actually had scholarship offers. I've had some former guys I coached when I coached a summer club team in Northern Virginia who had Division I offers, but they were so burned out, they didn't take them. The whole point of them doing all that stuff was to get a Division I scholarship. Now, granted, lacrosse doesn't really offer full scholarships, but nevertheless, still got offered scholarship money to go play Division I lacrosse, and they said, you know what, I just don't want to play anymore. I'm tired of it. And to me, that's sad seeing it. If they would have played maybe basketball or soccer, maybe that would have helped out a little bit. I don't know. But to see players or to see athletes turn down all what they worked for, it's sad seeing it. And I think that's something that parents need to rectify, coaches need to rectify, and really need to encourage their players to play multiple sports. Thanks again for listening to the Clearing the Crease podcast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/clearingthecrease. You can find us on Twitter at CTC Podcast is the Twitter handle. You can subscribe on iTunes for free if you can. Leave me a nice little 5-star rating if you decide to. That really helps me out a lot. But again, you can subscribe on iTunes. Again, the Clearing the Crease podcast is free for you guys. You can also find us on Podomatic. Again, that's Podomatic, Podomatic. You can look us up at www.podomatic.com/clearingthecrease. And you can also check out our website, www.clearingthecrease.com. You can check out any of the articles that we have written there, our blog, as well as an RSS feed to this podcast. Again, thank you so much for downloading the Clearing the Crease podcast. This is Dennis Cox. Look forward to talking to you guys later.